listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 16th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm happy to be here and on the eve of a really big full moon, I might add.
Ooh. You know, speaking of celestial things, just to break off for a minute, we have that comet coming up too, don't we?
We do so. Oh, a lot of things happening because of solar flares, all kinds of stuff going on up there.
It's very exciting. It's an exciting time to be alive, folks. And I'm so happy to have you joining us live in the chat. We always appreciate seeing you. We appreciate your contributions and just thank you for what you do. And thank you to those that take the time and catch up with us in the archives. You know, we get your feedback too, and we appreciate you listening and taking the time out of your week. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. Every now and again, I'm apt to quiet the peanut gallery in the back. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Looking forward to tonight's discussion, we're going to be getting into a lot of, I think this is kind of a really good topic. It leads into a lot of different areas of our lives, finding that meaning, that purpose, and that value in life. And
you had your share of finding out a few things last week, Michael. Let's start there. The hurricane, and you guys are just, we're a little bit south of Tampa, so you didn't get hit that bad, but there's still a lot of flooding and stuff in your neighborhood.
There, not in my personal neighborhood, but yeah, in the town. We had it in the next town over, really, and the local cities in Punta Gorda and Inglewood. They kind of form one kind of metro area, kind of like a one big city. But anyway, these areas got flooded in, and you know, it was kind of lucky, even for Tampa. If the storm had hit north of the bay, then the surge would have been much worse. If it hit a little bit further south, you know, at the top of Charlotte Harbor where I'm at, the storm surge would have been worse here. So, you know, even though Sarasota got hit directly, and the storm surge is worse there, but they don't have a lot of bays. It's not a big harbor like these two are. So if the storm had to hit anywhere, you know, I'd prefer it to go out to sea, but... Yeah. But we dodged a bullet, you know. We had some damage to my fence, damage to the trees. You know, my folks came out pretty well, too, and everybody kind of came through it. But, yeah, you never know. You're sitting there watching the weather, trying to figure out, is it going to go north or south at the last minute?
But, well, I was messaging with your dad, Dr. Douglas Kelly, last week, and he said Ian, a couple of years ago, was much worse for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was his night and day. His place was quite a mess
that night and day. That's because Ian hit Charlotte Harbor directly, and it was also a much stronger storm. Milton was very strong, but it weakened as it came on shore, so it was only a Category 3. I say only, but that's a significant difference, you know. Both Hurricane Charley and Hurricane Ian, which hit the harbor directly, those are both Category 4s, almost 5s. And Ian just sat on our town for, like, hours. It was so slow-moving. It was almost 12 hours that, you know, we had hurricane winds as it passed.
And you didn't have power for a couple of weeks either.
Yeah, 11 days myself. And my folks a little longer than that, but...
What was it, that little story about you had to drive as far as you could, get in a little boat, and take your folks some supplies?
Yeah, Northport was flooded. Although it was my father that would come in the boat to meet you at land, which is just further up the street. But yeah, it's something kind of surreal, seeing your father kayak down a neighborhood street. But, you know, yeah, those were interesting times. And one thing I'll say is usually when you have a major event like this, it's such a shared experience.
Yeah.
Ian was especially so because, you know, everybody helped each other out and everybody's checking on each other, you know, because we're all sharing that kind of experience. You know, the divisions that, you know, usually we kind of tribalize ourselves over, they fall away a bit. You have a bit more empathy. You have a bit more understanding because you have that shared experience and you see each other's humanity.
Yeah.
But,
that's key.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I guess that's a good enough segue too, because I think that, that to me, it helps find a bit of meaning in life because, I always try to I like the idea of trying to bridge a gap, you know, to reach people, even if they're on a different ideological side of the aisle, if they believe differently than me, you know, even people that don't like The Simpsons, you know, I try to understand them. And that's a little joke because I don't think Dr. Vicky likes it. But, you know, it's that's something that's always brought me meaning. And when this kind of happens and I see people come together, it gives me hope. But
it does.
So how was that segue?
Well, it does segue. You know, I think that when there are not events, you know, and you're kind of coasting in life and you're saying, well, what's the meaning of my life? That's different. But when you do have these big events, it's the meaning of my life right now is to get through this. And we have that spirit inside of us, that the will to live, you know, the will to get through it. Otherwise, we just roll over and drown.
Yeah.
You know, oh, well, storm, okay, see you guys. You know, but this, it's that will of spirit that, you know, drives that hope in us, that desire to get through it. And we're always in a place of wanting to help somebody. You know, and I think a lot of people can have issues, but when the chips are down, something else kind of surfaces inside. You know, and I'm sure that there's some people who bail and go steal TVs.
Oh, that's true.
you know? I think that it's one of those things. But again, getting back to when you're coasting through life, you don't have anything really happening. And you're saying, what is the meaning of life? And as Dr. Kelly would say, that's not really the question to be asking. What's the meaning of my life? Because, you know, what's the meaning of life is so broad. We can get really esoteric in that area and philosophical. But what's the meaning of my life? Well, in my world, I think to have meaning means to feel some kind of value. You know, it's when, again, if we're coasting, we're not interacting much. And we all have those times. Everybody does. Or you segue into another chapter of life. And, you know, whether it's through a loss or divorce or, you know, retirement, you know, there's these segues of now what? And what's the meaning of my life? Well, what kind of purpose do I serve? How can I find a sense of purpose? You know, and what do I do? And all those questions that start going around. But if you have a sense of feeling valued, then those questions kind of answer themselves, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, where some people take care of grandkids, mm-hmm. you know, some people have dogs.
Mm, those are the worst.
You know, yeah, right. And it's to feel like you're of value in some way, that I'm contributing something, I'm doing something. And it may not fulfill the whole meaning of my life,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly, I think, fills in a small gap until I reach the place of better understanding myself. Oh, Wendy says, yeah, also when kids grow up and move out. That's huge, by the way. I've got a couple of clients right now who are going through that, and I went through that. And thankfully, I had some older women in my life who I heeded their words. And
I like that deep sigh before you said it, too.
Well, it's to prepare yourself in a way about the void left behind. You know, there's a void. Mm-hmm. It's like an empty space in your life. And it's like, you know, now what? Because when you define everything you do for such a long time as, let's say, a parent or a caregiver, and suddenly that's not there, it's like, oh, okay, I was really motivated to make money to feed my kids. I was really motivated to pay the rent or mortgage. I'm really motivated. Now I have to do that for myself. Ooh. You mm-hmm. know? And Dr. Mike is saying in the chat, let's face it, the meaning of life is deeply subjective and multifaceted, with each person finding their own answers based on their beliefs, values, and experiences. I totally appreciate what you just said, Dr. Mm-hmm. Mike, and I absolutely agree, because we're all very different. But if we think about value, and no matter your beliefs, no matter where you live on the planet, no matter the situation, no matter your life experiences, if you feel needed in some way or valued. I know people with mental health issues that stay alive for their dog.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a value. Otherwise, they give up. You know? There's so many different ways we can look at it, not just a westernized kind of experience, you know, let's say middle class and so on.
Well, I mean, I think what we're talking about is the variety of purpose for each individual person and, sure. you know, cultures. And, you know, I think the cliche, you know, it takes a village, I don't think that's really to raise kids, but, you know, we need each other. And that's the thing, you know, this whole... And that's what I keep coming back to on, you know, the domestic level, like in our individual countries, you know, we need each other. Conservatives need liberals and liberals need conservatives, by which I mean, you know, we all need to help each other, work with each other. You know, we need the farmland. We need the cities for growth and innovation, all these different things. And on a global level, I also would argue we need each other. We need that diversity of culture to kind of come together as we have. And, you know, because with one or a few, relatively speaking, perspectives, you don't see the entire picture. When you have 8 to 9 billion perspectives and you can kind of bring those together, at least in some semblance of a way, you can see things from different angles and are more likely to find solutions that are going to be effective and more likely to possibly even find truth.
Well, I kind of relate it to how Dr. Kelly is now down the 9 principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got 9 principles. So to me, you know, finding a purpose, meaning, and value in your life is kind of working off of those principles, no matter your situation. Now, having said that, people do face tremendous hardship. And I mean, right from poverty and homelessness to, you know, right now, you know, wars and politics. And, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. So people living in these situations, of course, you know, still have that interaction with each other, relying on somebody or helping somebody. You know, there are these situations where, you know, you're going to find some kind of meaning in there. If not, honestly, you just roll over and say, that's it, I'm out. Mm-hmm. That's when it happens.
We all need purpose. And I have often argued that the peace and contentment that people often find from things like, you know, church and religion and what have you is the community that's there. You know, if there's one thing I had to, you know, I love this community that we have, but that was the one thing that I liked about the old days, you know, was the sense of community. And I like that we have that now in a more, you know, humanist fashion. But it is, I think, you know, one thing about this, you know, finding, you know, meaning, purpose, and value is it's within kind of the box of being also the human animal. And while there are a variety of types of personalities, and I think there are people that don't really need to be in a community, they're more apt to being isolated, I would argue those types of people are very rare. Even if you're an introvert, you do need to kind of just get out and connect for, you know, even if it's just a few friends and a small group.
Well, I just, as everybody knows, I just, by the way, I'm back in Vernon, my home city, and into my new place, you know, minus a few things and a whole bunch of boxes, but very happy. I spent 6 weeks with a friend of mine, about 6 hours away, and she's gone through a rough 5 years. She's a high-powered businesswoman, a go-getter with lots of drive, but we had a lot of talks about that. She has an estranged daughter, a grandchild, you know, that if she was driving, he lives like 14 hours away, but doesn't get to see him very much. But her whole thing was to build a sense of community and people in her area. You know, she's got great neighbors, and she had to start building that for herself. And that really, and of course, even in her job, and she said, like, helping people out, in her work, she can educate people. But people are also doing for her. So she said that sense of community is critical for her. Otherwise, she just feels desolate and alone. And she is somebody who is built socially. I, having been a writer and having lived almost in the bush for 20 years on a farm, I do isolation really well. Yeah. So, but there are people who cannot do that. Michael. And I know Wendy went and got a whole bunch of critters. Well, so did I, Wendy. I had a whole farm of animals. Probably at one point had 200 chickens and ducks and geese and, you know, gardens. And you know, eventually, slowly, the culture shock of letting all of that go also and down to one cat. But again, art is my salvation. Art, writing, creating. And, of course, every Wednesday night this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, doing odd bits of work here and there. And I do have a family I'm connected with. So it's each of us finds our own way. But listening to, you know, my friend and appreciating that when, especially getting older, and, you know, life's kicked you in the head a few times, then how do you find that sense of community? Well, you have to actually go out your door. If that's a need, you have to step out. You have to connect. Now, where I'm living, in this little cul-de-sac, turns out at 69, I'm the youngest one here. So, like, I'm in a good club. I kind of chuckled to myself when I learned that one. But they all wave to each other. One of the fellows yesterday said, you need anything, you know, looking out for each other. And that gives a great sense of safety. And I think if we take purpose, meaning, and value a step further is, do we feel safe? Mm-hmm. And most people do not feel safe in life. And that's, life is, can be a very scary thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so Dr. Mike again says the meaning is life is found in personal fulfillment, relationships, love, creativity, and in the pursuit of happiness. You know, we're pursuing joy. So if you're somebody who is always waiting for the other shoe to drop or what is bad that's going to happen, then it's very hard to find a sense of meaning or value. you know. So it's, again, that attitude of reaching into, and in my reality, it's reaching into your spirit and saying, no, this is, like, I'm in a borrowed body. What does my spirit want, you know, while I'm here? And because it's my spirit that keeps me going.
Yeah.
Because to me, the spirit is all that creativity and the drive and the hope and the wonderment. It's not mental. It's not intellectualized.
You know, yeah.
It's emotional and spiritual.
Yeah, I agree. Although I've always, I kind of internal monologue it as the soul, it, you know, disambiguated from religion. But yeah, although I've always kind of felt that that the consciousness that we are kind of more is the spirit, although we do have that animal side to it. Well, that's a whole different tangent. But no, I completely agree with that. Absolutely. You know, Dr. Mike, great points in here. But yeah, you know, and you know, I often want to come back to the idea that community, you know, hey, for a lot of people, the more the merrier. And if you find like-minded people and you can find a big group, then great. And I think that especially in a neighborhood, there is, you know, it's a very primal thing. We evolved because we coordinated well, we communicated well, and we had numbers. We organized, and we had larger social groups.
Well, and you think about it when you have a hurricane.
Yeah.
It's your community that you rely on.
Yeah. And that's
coming together.
And in a big way that the reason, big reason that people come together in times of disaster is because that's who we are as the human animal. That's how we survive. And I think there's something hopeful about that. And when I talk like this, you know, I put a lot of value in animals, and I don't think that reminding ourselves that we are, you know, we are an animal, there's nothing wrong with that. We have a much higher level of awareness and intelligence, but we're still driven by instinct and things like that. But we can shape it. And I think that, you know, I think it's really important that we can, you know, go out in the world and we can find people that we, that are like-minded, that we can build the community with. And it, in your in-person life, it could just be a few friends, you know, and confidants, and finding people that know and understand your values and accept you for who you are. And that is a wonderful thing. And it takes a lot of work sometimes.
It does.
Especially depends on where, you know, geographics has a lot to do with that too. Geography, I suppose, where you're at. And, you know, I'm just rambling here at this point, but
no, I totally agree. And I agree with Dr. Mike. It's very subjective.
Mm-hmm. That could be the explanation for life. And it's very subjective.
Well, but in, you know,
it's true. I'm
counseling people and doing readings for over 50 years. And something that has, you know, been a common thread is when people feel futility and they feel desolate and they're scared. And even on the brink of, why am I even on the planet? And my answer to that is, you can check out anytime you want. And that's usually a very surprising response, you know, that they get from me, because I'm not going to tell you what to do. Like, but you're obviously here talking. There's a reason we're talking. So if you want to check out, fair enough. It's your life. You own it. But aren't you the least bit curious?
Yeah.
Like, curious enough that we're talking. Curious enough that you're interested. Mm-hmm. Curious enough wondering who you're going to meet. Curious enough about how you could help somebody out. Or curious enough to reach out for help. You know, are you in any way, and again, that goes to value and finding some sense of meaning, you know. And I know we intellectualize, we use a lot of these words, like a lot of these words, but it comes down to, I own my life. Sometimes I don't have control, and I have to surrender to not having control. And even in that, I find some kind of purpose. Like, there's something else to be learned about myself that I didn't know before. And I'll tell you one thing I did learn. about myself living with somebody. I haven't lived with anybody, by the way, for many years. So in sharing a space, particularly one that's not mine, I learned that I'm not the control freak I thought I was, Michael.
Oh, that's nice.
And I mean, I'm rather proud of myself. That, you know, oh, I'm not a real control freak. Oh, okay. I'm seeing some control freaks here. But it's like I shrug it off because I don't care.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of, oh, I don't know, liberation in that, I suppose.
Well, and, there is.
So we're always, my point, though, is we're always learning something. And even that's a curiosity of how will I handle this today? You know, what am I going to tap into tomorrow? Oh, I think there's a situation here I have to manage. I have to navigate this. What can I call upon in myself to do that? Even if it's something I've never done before. And even that can give you a sense of meaning, you know, because it's a focus. It's looking forward, you know, it's something.
And you know,
it's shrug it off and say, I can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think most of us, you know, we have that in us to survive, to push forward, and we all find our way there. Like many other things, it's subjective to the individual. But you're absolutely right, and I like how you phrased that, because it touched on some thoughts that I had a while back. You know, I think for a great many of us, especially those of us who have been blessed, with, you know, interesting and complicated lives, you know, we've had the toss. You think about life, you know, what's, you try to find that hope, you're trying to find that purpose. And for me, a while back, you know, I was in a dark place, and then it just, I settled on the fact that this phase of existence is very temporary. Even if it's 150 years, it's very, very temporary. You're not going to be in this existence a lot longer than you are in this, you know, whatever that means. So write it out, see what happens. And, you know, just, it's like reading a story. Don't you want to see what's on the next page? What if there's a twist, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, you can say, well, I know what's going to happen. It's going to follow the trends that you've seen in history, and you can predict it, and you know human nature, and da-da-da. But if anybody that's really studied history, or just humans right now, you know that things often can unexpectedly, you know, take a turn. It's like the probability, right?
Yeah.
Even if something has a very small probability of happening, if given the opportunity over and over and over again, it likely will hit eventually. Eventually, you know? And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, my kids maybe eat my words this year. You know, it's stressful having to move and everything. And, you know, my daughter said, Mom, you always told us everything is temporary. It's like, oh yeah, sure, make me eat my words.
Yeah.
So it is. It's all in that. But it's about finding something to do, finding some kind of value.
Yeah.
Finding a need for yourself, filling I don't know, even if it's making somebody smile, or
yeah,
you know, go work at the food bank. I know a friend of mine, her husband retiring, he's very social. Well, she maneuvered things so that they went to what do you call them? Humanity thing for animals. What is the Humane Society? And went to a function. Oh, he's all over it. Now he's really active with Humane Society. So much so that he brings one dog after another home. but it gives him a sense of purpose, a sense of doing something.
Yeah.
And he gets to talk to people and interact with people. And he's a totally different guy since he's been able to do that, because he's getting a little bored and irritating, I'm afraid.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having to take time to find your purpose too, and I'm glad that he came around to it with little assistance, sounds like. And I understand that. You know, dogs are a big part of my purpose.
Yeah.
You know, dogs help me a lot in my life, you know. My dog is a boy, was always there for me. It was a very important part of me learning empathy and loyalty and things like that. And so it was always very important for me. Dogs were just always important to me. Animals in general. I love cats too, and all animals. I've had all kinds of pets. But there's just something about dogs that connected with me.
Yeah, and if you can't have a pet, and you can't, let's say, where you're living, or you can't afford a pet, there are other ways to
absolutely
find a sense of doing.
Even with animal. I mean, you can volunteer at the shelter. They need people to walk dogs and to play with them and interact and things. Yeah. That is a valuable service, and what you were getting at,
Yeah. So I hope that, even in this discussion, it reminds us, everybody, that, there's looking at ourselves and our lives and, what's next.
Absolutely.
It's always the what's next.
And I would be remiss if I didn't also say that a good chunk of the purpose I find in life is also this, and you guys. So thank you for that. But, it's been a great discussion. And I think the one thing that we can come down as a certainty in life is that it's subjective. And, everybody's going to have their own different purpose, right? There is no meaning to life. What is the meaning of your life? What is the purpose of your life? It's going to be individualized.
Yeah.
It might take time to figure out, might take time to find. But we have that time. This is what we're here to do. It's interesting. Let's engage with it. Let's figure out what the next page is going to be. So, but with that, I think it is time to pull some cards for some folks. And I know that I'm going to be pulling from our inner oracle deck designed and written by the elder Dr. Kelly, and you're going to back that up with a tarot card and a much more intuitive reading. I get to read from a book, and it's mathematical probability that I think is interesting there. But Dr. Vicky, you have the good stuff. So,
well, I'm trying to keep up with the names.
So I think, let's see, where did we start here? They did come up fast. There we are.
Jerry.
All right. Hey, Dr. Jerry, glad to see you tonight. You get wild card number 3 blocks. Wild card number 3 blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction, but do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
I love that. Blockages serve purpose. Well, I know this is not going to freak you out, Jerry, but the first card I pulled was the Devil. And I said, what's that about? And it's the Hermit. So when you look at this picture, there's a story. So if you're, I don't know if you're having a bad couple of days or, kind of wondering about meaning and purpose, but or there's a little confusion or something, my sense is maybe something from the past, kind of a little bit, and a little bit of, I always see the Devil as gray. You know, it's something that place of gray where things collide or there's confusion. It doesn't really have to be conflict. It doesn't have to be, scary. It's just that little place of gray. So when I see blocks, the gray at the Hermit is your answer is way inside. It's asking you, of you at this time to look within because it's in there. And again, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say maybe you really need a good night's sleep or, getting some rest, letting your body catch up with yourself. It's just that kind of moment of chill. So I hope that makes sense to you, Jerry. Okay, we have Donna next. Welcome, Donna. Did you mute, Michael?
No, I was pausing to think. I don't make mistakes like that, Dr. Vicky. No, obviously, yes, I was very much muted. But Donna, for you, I have number 16, the continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is a reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter can begin.
Well, you got the moon, so I would say there's a mystery afoot. With the continuity of life, Donna, paired with the moon, and I know there's Dr. Vic in the chat is asking, do I use tarot? Yes, I do. It's just saying that there's the what's next in the continuity of life. Is there something here to be learned, something to be revealed, something that you may be just not quite sure of, but just be patient because it's going to be revealed very quickly.
Oh, very good. All right. And let me go back to my list. I wasn't sure if you were wrapping up or if I lost you for a second there, but...
Oh, sorry about that, Michael.
No worries.
I don't push the mute button.
What's that?
I don't push the mute button.
All right. So we have Dr. Kevin next. If I caught that right, it was going by fast.
Kevin.
So, yeah, you guys keep me honest.
Who do you have?
Dr. Kevin.
Yeah, I do too.
So, hey. I don't often pull cards sequentially because, you know, I shuffle all the time absentmindedly while I'm doing this. But Dr. Kevin, you get number 17, reinvention.
Oh.
I always think that's odd. Number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy, and answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
I got the six of spades with that. Interesting, Kevin. There might be a few challenges right now, but the assuredness here, or what you can be assured of, is that the destination is in sight. So it might be people throwing you a couple of curveballs or extra pressure you hadn't foreseen. It just feels a little bit cumbersome, but you're having to find new narration, new dialogue, new strategies. And that actually is a good thing. So in that reinvention, because things you hadn't had to learn before, but now you do. So the old ways don't work. Got to find the new ones. And you're getting there. So the goal and the destination is in sight. Keep going. Absolutely. This is saying keep going. Don't stop. All right. We have Edward next.
And for you, not going too far, we're going up to number 19. Invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth. But the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. So, good message. That's a good one.
That is a good one. Huh. Which is interesting. The Queen of Hearts. I'm trying to figure out how that goes together. It's like there's this, I'm going to go twofold here. It's having to tune into your female energy, your sense of female energy, because, look, we all have male and female energy, everybody. The intuitive side that can foresee things, but then the flip side that I'm seeing here is in matters of partnerships and relationships, and... you might be called into action in some way, Edward, but still being truthful to yourself. You know, it's like, don't deviate from who you are as, you know, you're called into action kind of thing. So I think it's, you got some interesting little dynamics coming up here, if you're not already having them, that is. And I find it really positive. Just a little, I'm going, well, I wonder what that's about. You know, that's what I'm kind of having in that moment. But I feel like it's positive, really positive. The outcome's great.
All right.
Okay, and we have the newlywed Dr. Jeff.
Hi. Congratulations.
Congratulations, yes.
All right. So this is a big one. And, you know, I think it might be a little apropos. This is number 31, Sacred Obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
I got the Four of Clubs. I always see the Four of Clubs or the Four of Wands as the only marriage card in the deck, Jeff. But that said, it could be commitment, obligation, it could be promises, contracts, any of those things. When you have sacred obligations to that Four of Clubs, I think you and Shauna being now really married is going to change everything. It gives both of you that really great sense of foundation. And, you know, like you were partners before, but this, you know, a lot of people don't really feel like they need to get legally married or otherwise. For the two of you, I think it gave you that, you know, comfort. So, you know, it's now you're going to find that, and we're talking about, you know, purpose and meaning and value. I think that the two of you are really starting to brainstorm in a brand new way about how you can move forward together. So it's very exciting. So that's just an affirmation here for you. Yeah.
All right. Good stuff.
We have Wendy next.
Wendy, our card keeper. And to those that might not know, Wendy actually tracks different cards for people that are pulled, so you can look for patterns throughout the year. And, you know, we had her on midway in the summer. We're going to have you back. And just thank you for what you do. And for you, this feels familiar. You're going to tell me if you've gotten it or if anybody else has gotten it. But I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward now?
Well, this is so interesting, Wendy. So the first card I pulled was the Page of Swords. That Page of Spades, and I went, oh, what's that about? And then I pulled the King of Spades. So I don't know if somebody's giving you some grief. So that Pay It Forward, somebody you might have depended on, relied on, somebody you were hoping would fulfill something, is perhaps not doing their thing. So you might look at alternatives. That's kind of where I'm going. So in other words, if somebody can't get that job done, they get somebody else. Or somebody's in your way. I always had this thing, three times you're out. And sometimes it's two times you're out. If I've attempted something a couple of times, it's not working. I need to, like, change my focus. I need to take that energy in a different direction, one where it's more welcomed and there's a greater flow. So that's just a suggestion. And that could even be in matters of business. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be family, but, you know, somebody in there, an energy. So kick it out the door, Wendy, and keep moving forward. All right, so there was a, I know we're going to get to Zoran in a second here, but Donna was asking a question. Shouldn't they be pulled randomly? They shouldn't be pulled randomly, should they? They should be chosen, right? Not sure. I haven't taken courses. When, to answer that, Donna, I see it as a matter of channeling. It's like trying to tune into your name, tune into that energy, and then doing it on your behalf. And that's how you do remote readings. That's how you do, you know, online and stuff. I shuffle the cards. Somebody tells me when to stop. You know, it's their cards. So think about energy. Anyway, we have Zoran next. What have you got, Michael? Hello, Michael? Earth to Michael.
Dang it all to heck. I was on mute again. But I was just saying that, Dr. Zoran, for you, I have number one, perfection. And right. Wendy had said that the last one, Pay It Forward, has been pulled a few times really recently for Dr. Jeff. But I think we've had perfection a few times, too.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Zoran, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or maybe not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
You know, sometimes we have to move on from people or, like, shift gears. And so when you have perfection, I think everything is perfect in this moment because we created this moment. So it's a perfect result of whatever happened before. Sometimes we just don't like it. Or you're making changes and other people don't like it because how would that make them feel? Like, well, I think I'm really happy for you, but what about me? You know, that kind of thing. So when you get the Five of Diamonds, that Five of Pentacles, it's like you're moving forward, but somebody might be tugging at your strings or, you know, saying, yeah, but what about me? And if you can, I always try to mention to people, if you're going to make changes, tell the people who are closest to you, I'm making some changes, but it doesn't affect you. Everything's the same. It's a reassurance. So that's what I'm thinking here, Zoran. You're a, you know, perfect energy in action here, but it might make a couple of other people feel uncomfortable. So just let them know what you're up to and be, you know, you don't have to coddle people. Just say, no, everything's good. You know, we're just making some changes because these changes are really good for you. So there.
All right.
Now,
we do have one last card, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
we have our newcomer, yeah. Dr. Vic. And due to our group of the curious, our community here, and so happy to have you. And, you know, we were having a little back and forth in the chat that you picked up on when it came to card pulling, you know, maybe doing a program for it and such, which, frankly, I'm not opposed to. I might find it interesting just to compare it to, you know, I don't know, analog pulls or whatnot. But I do like the tactile feel of the cards and shuffling and such. But I don't know. I was just thinking about it. You know, I always pull from the top. I want to pull from the middle. And I did. And Dr. Vic, for you, I pulled a fun one. I pulled wild card number 9 blank.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be. It's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, but the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Okay, so I got the Five of Spades, the Five of Swords, which I was curious about something. So I pulled another one. So let me explain to you. The Five of Spades is saying the struggle is largely over. So the blank card means you're creating a new reality. Anything is possible. It's saying here that the difficulty or some challenges that you had are subsiding. So I thought, okay, well, what's that about? When I get the Seven of Hearts, you know, that Seven of Cups, that simply says you're creating new dreams. So there's something shifting inside of you, whether that's, I don't know, maybe you're getting downloaded to the universe or something, but there's a shift. And being able to see the world differently, see your life a little bit differently, and changing perspective. And I see that nothing other than kind of magical. Anything is possible for you now, Vic. And we do kind of share a little bit of a name. Anything is possible.
Well, good company. Good company, yeah. Absolutely. But, yeah, no, that's a good message. And, you know, I really hope that connects. But absolutely, we're happy to have you. Wendy threw in best first card. I kind of agree.
You know, if I could just inject this, Michael, you know, to some of our newcomers and those who listen in the archives, we started pulling cards a number of years ago, because we've been doing this a while now.
Like 50
and,
years.
Dr. Kelly designed the Inner Oracle cards for people, and mostly based on his body of work. And they're wonderful, by the way. But we, somewhere along the line, we thought, well, what if we pull one of those cards for people? It's just a little message, you know, a little food for thought. What would happen if we pulled a tarot card? What would the message be? And well, that in and of itself, I think, is kind of encouraging and helpful to people. What it does is Wendy, who tracks us, it tracks everything. And hopefully I'll get around to it. I didn't do a mid-year study on the tarot, but I will do it before the end of the year, so Wendy and I can have a talk at the end of the year to see what kind of repeats there have been. Mm-hmm. Is there a pattern? Is there an energetic pattern? Is there something, maybe it's just to this group, you know, these people here. What are we seeing? What are the most repetitive cards? Perhaps even when did they happen? To whom did they happen? And this is fascinating for us. And it's just adds to the dimension of metaphysics of being observant and students of, you know, our world,
mm-hmm.
and our energy frequencies. So if that helps some of the newcomers to fill in how we got started doing this, it's not to give readings so much as it is to give little bits of thought-provoking, encouragement, you know. And I work purely on intuition. I don't know, because a card, yeah, even a card in a regular plane, that's why I always say it's like the Five of Hearts is always the, you know, the, you know, Five of Cups. Because you, it's 50 cards in a regular playing deck, you know, corresponds with the minor arcana in the tarot. So that's why I like to kind of help educate. And about that, and because I can read both. But any symbol can have multiple meanings. So that's why it's helpful, rather than Michael just pulling a card or me pulling a card, we do it together and say, oh, there's something kind of working together here. There's mm-hmm. a story. So it's fun. We enjoy it, and we hope, and, you know, we like to believe you do. And, and it just adds something to the end of every program when we're having discussions or guests on the program. We don't usually do it because we all talk too much.
So, true.
But as we have these discussions, this kind of adds a new dimension.
And, you know, I can't tell you, you know, how many times I'll pull a card or listen to you say something and, you know, it's not intended for me, and I'm not trying to steal anything, but just in my own private moment, in my inner monologue, you know, that hits. Yeah, that connects to something I've been thinking about. And so, you know, I love your intuition and the way that you can kind of read into it, and, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head so often. I always say, for me, it is just probability and mathematics. But I've always had a belief that the universe speaks to us through probability and changes in probability. And
just wish we could nail the lotto numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I played the lotto, by which I mean I bought my own ticket. I played it exactly once, and I won $100. And I vowed I was going out on a winning streak, and I wasn't going to ever play again. Now,
look at you.
I have been gifted, you know, scratch-off tickets plenty of times. And I lose every single time, but I'm not counting those. I'm counting the only the one that I bought. I hit the mic again. But, you know, this has been a fun evening, and it's been a good conversation, good back and forth. I've loved going through these cards. And thank you, Dr. Vic, for asking, because it's been kind of refreshing and fun to kind of get into why are we pulling the cards the way that we do. Yeah. And it's been a great conversation in the chat tonight. Really thank you for that.
Oh, and thanks for the comments and the accolades in the chat, guys. Appreciated, and the feedback, of course. And, you know, and thanks for saying that, Damien. Yeah, Michael and I do work good together. We both actually work pretty good off the cuff. And we never know what's – we are not scripted at all. So
well,
what are we going to talk about today,
Michael? I don't
think
anybody would ever accuse us of being scripted. But, I mean, heck, tonight I'm banging the mic stand a couple times with my watch. Dogs are barking in the background. I'm losing my place when I'm reading because I'm kind of keeping an eye on the chat and trying to do this, that, and the other. And I'm getting back to the card. And I'm like, oh, God, where was I at?
Well, I think, and there's another lesson to be learned too. Michael and I are very different. I mean, I've got a son his age. You know, we come from different realities. Mm-hmm. People think differently. We don't always agree, but we can agree to always find a mid ground and enjoy the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And, absolutely.
And so it's kind of like we're kindred spirits in a way, somewhere out there in the universe that, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know about that, Michael. Well, I don't know. I never thought about that. And, you know, and we've really grown together mm-hmm. over these years.
Absolutely. And so, you know, also, I got to say, you know, I view you as a friend, and our friendship
absolutely.
Has really just turned me around on my my prejudice against Canadians. You know, oh, I had bitterness in my heart for those folks up north. Why do you get to have, you know, such happy cities and things like that?
I'm sorry
Mounties.
To hear that.
So, you know, but now I realize you're human beings, just like the rest of us, you know? So, but actually, you know, I've always loved Canada. I always have. And I've always loved, just absolutely loved teasing Dr. Vicky about it.
Well, that's why I said I'm sorry you feel that way, because we have a tendency to say sorry a lot. Mind you, I think we're growing out of it. I think there's a maturation process. Or is it contamination?
Oh, I don't know. It's all a bunch of mixing and matching and, you know, different things. But one day we're going to unite with Canada and Mexico, and we're all going to be one, you know, big old North American thing.
I think we already are.
Yeah, more or less. And frankly, I'm all for it, you know. Just the Mexican and Hispanic food, delicioso. And Canadian, yeah. I guess, hockey and politeness, it's fantastic too. But no, it's great. It's great working with you. It's great being around you guys. And
tonight,
yep, it's good stuff. And it is that time of the night, though. And we are wrapping it up. And, you know, I think we're going to have a great conversation next week. I don't know if we have anything set yet, but we'll figure it out. And, well, as we're wrapping up, anything, last thoughts on the topic tonight, Dr. Vicky?
Yeah, don't let them push you around out there, people. You know, just carry, mind your own business, carry forward, don't honk your horn in traffic, you know, let it go.
Yeah, I mean, and... I'll just throw on that, you know, don't ever be afraid to be who you are, and you're going to find, you know, we're going to find community together, and we're going to find that purpose together. But
you bet.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Can't
happy
wait.
Full moon.
Happy full moon. Happy comet. I think it's once in 8,000 years or something like that.
Well,
and until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.